end of section 4 of X, no, that's in the end of 1996. Well, the following section is hereby substituted for section 4 of the group 1 X. Exemption from liability. For no act or omission of whatever nature by the Director General, Registrar, or any officer or other person performing functions under the authority of the Director General or Registrar, as the case may be, in terms of this act, shall subject the Director General. The Registrar or any such officer or person to any liability for any loss or damage sustained by any person as a result of any such act or omission, unless such act or omission was in bad faith or constituted gross negligence. Repeal of Section 5 of Act Number 28 of 1995. Section 5 of the Fiscal Act is hereby repealed. Amendment of Section 6 of Act 28 of 1996. 6. The following section is hereby substituted for Section 6 of the Fiscal Act. Drafting of Constitution. 6. Clause 1. A community wishing to register an association under this Act may apply to the Registrar for assistance in the preparation of a draft constitution. The Registrar shall, after receiving an application in terms of Section 1, designate any officer in the CPA office or any other suitable person to provide the continuity to such assistance as may be required and available for the preparation of a draft constitution. 3. A community must submit a draft constitution to the Registrar for consideration. 4. The Registrar may suggest amendments to such draft constitution in order to make it comply with the provisions of Section 9, and shall notify the community of the reasons for such suggestions. Amendment of Section 7 of Act Number 28 of 1996. 7. Section 7 of the Postal Act is hereby amended. A. By the substitution for subsection 1 of the following subsection. 1. When a community wishes to adopt a constitution, it shall notify the Registrar accordingly and shall convene a meeting or meetings in such manner as may be prescribed for the adoption of constitutions, provided that a constitution shall only be adopted by at least 60% of the total number of individuals, families or households of that community having the right to make decisions as contemplated in item 8 of this schedule. B. By the insertion in subsection 2 after paragraph D of the following paragraph. B. A. Where the members of the association have been properly identified by the community. C. By the substitution in subsection 2 for paragraph F of the following paragraph. F. Any other matter which the minister may prescribe or which may be relevant to the exercise of the registrar's discretion. And D. By the substitution for subsection 3 and 4 of the following subsections, respectively. 3. Community shall, as soon as practicable, after the adoption of the Constitution, submit it together with the prescribed information to the registrar. 4. Any person claiming to have been excluded from participation in the process of preparation and adoption of the Constitution, or claiming that the process was not fair, may lodge a complaint with the registrar. Comment if he or she is satisfied on reasonable grounds that the complaint is material. Refuse to register association until the issue has been resolved to the satisfaction of the registrar. Amendment of Section 8 of Act No. 28 of 1996. Section 8 of the Prescribed Act is hereby amended A by the substitution for subsection 1 of the following subsection. 1. The registrar shall consider an application for registration of an association together with any prescribed information. The report referred to in subsection 7(2) and the constitution adopted by the association. B. By substitution in subsection 2 or paragraph B of the following paragraph. B. The association has, as its main object, the administration and management of community property on behalf of the community. C. By the substitution in subsection 2 for the word following paragraph F of the following word. Provided that the registrar may cause an association to be registered if he or she is satisfied that D, by the substitution in paragraph F of subsection 2 of subparagraph Roman figure 2 of the following subparagraph Roman figure 2, the constitution reflects the view of the majority of the members of the community. E. By the substitution for subsections 3, 4, and 5 of the following subsections respectively. 3A. If the registrar is satisfied that the association qualifies for registration, he or she shall register the association in the prescribed manner, allocated a registration number and issue a certificate of registration. The registration officer shall keep a register of registered provisional associations. The registrar shall, if a certificate of registration contemplated in paragraph A is lost or destroyed, on written application by the association and on payment of the fees determined by the Director General, issue the association with a copy of the certificate filed in the registrar's office and shall indicate on such copy that it is a true copy of the original certificate. Three, the name of an association may be changed in accordance with the prescribed procedure, and if the registrar identifies that such procedure has been followed, he or she may issue an addendum to the certificate of registration indicating the new name of the association. D. When the name of an association is changed as contemplated in paragraph 3, the registrar shall inform the registrar of D in whose area of jurisdiction the immovable property which is administered by the association is situated, and the registrar of D shall endorse the community's title deed to reflect the new name of the association. If the registrar is not satisfied that the association qualifies for registration, He or she shall notify the committee of the steps to be taken to procure the registration of the association. The registrar may assist the community to deal with any issue which is to be addressed in order to procure the registration of the association. F. By the substitution for subsection 6 of the following subsection 6, upon the registration of an association, A. Community and association become juristic persons with the capacity to sue and be sued. B. The community and the association may acquire rights and obligations in their own name in accordance with the Constitution. C. The community and the association may subject to the Constitution and Section 3. Acquire and dispose of any of the property and real rights therein. And Romantica 2, and cover such immovable property or real rights by mortgage, servitude, or lease, or in any other manner, provided that the association may only acquire, dispose of, or cover immovable property on behalf of a community. D. The community and the association shall have perpetual succession regardless of changes in their membership. E. The constitution shall be a legally binding agreement between the community, the association, and their members, and shall be deemed to be a matter of public knowledge. G. By the definition of subsections 7 and 8, and H. By the substitution for subsections 10 and 11 of the current subsections, respectively. 10. No amendment of the constitution of an association registered under this act shall be valid or binding until it has been lodged with an attested in writing by the registrar. 2. The provisions binding 11. Provisions of sections 6 and 7 and subsections 1 to 5 of this section shall apply with the necessary changes with regard to any proposed amendment of the Constitution of an association registered under this Act, provided that the registrar shall waive compliance with the provisions of section 7 if he or she identifies that the amendment was adopted in terms of the Constitution, that the nature of the amendment is such that compliance with those provisions is not necessary, and that the amendment does not have a material adverse effect on the rights of members.
Thank you, Honorable Members, can we look at the amendment of Section 4? Any comments? Is there any comments, questions? If there's none, can I then get to move on for the assessment of the clause? Honorable Robinson?
Move
the proposal that you accept the clause of section 4 address. Another room, who's that?
Chair, thank you. I'm not necessarily agreeing there with my colleague, but we always complain here that the department, some official brother of the department, fail to perform their functions, and they expect the department to sanction them in one way or the other. And here we have got a provision that exempts this official from liability. Our point is that from a governance perspective, what are the general rules that commit and bind civil servants to do their work as efficiently as is possible. If we can have a specific clause that exempts such a critical post from that is, I'm not quite okay. Maybe this is where PJ's experience and knowledge can help the Honorable Mugodi can help us. honestly, I'm not comfortable about the rationale, unless I know the rationale for this specific exemption, given the fact that it was a cry all over the country, that we had a cry from all over the country, that officials are not playing ball, as we say in Korea.
Any other comments? Then, I want to check amendment of section 4, whether is there any time frame for the are we on section 4? Any time frame for the drafting of the constitution? If they are not in time frame, this community sometimes other drafts may be put aside. Am I
where you seek to identify as so that they are not held liable in their personal capacity for setting their functions in the state.
Thank you, Chair.
Oh, sorry.
Don't you agree with the view of the department? In the principal act, this exemption from liability is provided for, exactly as it is provided for in the amendment law. The only change is that the DGA is changed already in the bill. And the rationale, the legal rationale for having such an exemption from civil liability specifically is such that when the DG or official of the government acts within the core scope of their employment in accessing CPAs, sometimes accessing CPAs enter into contractual legal arrangements with other entities, there might be some legal implications to that. And in the instance where the department officials are acting in good faith, they are exempted from liability. And as the question is come to now, in the event that they acted negligently, even if they were acting within the course of their scope of their employment, they wouldn't be protected. So it's a balance exemption that provides liability when acting within the core of the scope of their employment in good faith, as opposed to when not acting before you get liability.
I'm happy with that explanation, Chair. Thanks a lot, Mr. Consul. I think that vein, I therefore support the motion by my colleague that we pass this.
Thank you very much. Can we move to section 5 and 6? The repeal of the provisional talk about the provisional
It's one typical case, Chair, thank you very much, where I want to ask from the chairman and the government, what are the problems with the provisional? If my interpretation is right, that the provisional CPAs were prior to registration, at least those people have been known which they are organizing themselves. Maybe during the claim stage, maybe during the application stage, if it's finding. So what were the experiences and how was the solution arrived at to really do away with provisionalism? And then in the absence of the provisionalism, how will these people be holding so long? Under what banner? Who will they be? How will they identify themselves? What are some basic modus operandi of these people? Thank you. So it's very clarity and information. That's the thing. You know, that's the reason of financial aid.
Any other comments?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not commenting now. On drafting of constitution, Honourable Fellow Diamond mentioned an issue of gross negligence. Sometimes, you know, it can frame it not stay. The officials sometimes, you know, that draft constitution can still take a year. When you ask from the communities, what's wrong with the CPA? Why is it not functioning? No, the constitution. It's a year now, the constitution is in the office. All those things, that's why I have a fear of the time frame check.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. With regard to the question posed by Honorable Bowie, the main challenge we have in provisional PPAs is that is an entity that is established prior to the, in effect, prior to the adoption of the Constitution. And because there is no document that has been published, it becomes difficult to manage. And when you look at the whole intention, the process of the administration, a lot of work goes into that process for an entity that ultimately says no particular purpose. Because that's the purpose of people that association is for each to take ownership of the land. But a provisional PPA takes no particular purpose, except the adoption that it will enable people to put themselves together, which is still possible even without any joint study.
With regard to the time frames
for the adoption of the Constitution, I would like to put it before the court meeting that the Constitution writing process is ideally supposed to be an inclusive process. And because of the need to seek consensus within the community members, it then becomes a very tedious process of going to ensure that there are many meetings that should happen prior to its adoption. And in certain instances, you'll find that the draft that comes out of the meeting that the community holds does not comply with the provisions of Section 9. And if that is the case, then it becomes difficult for the department to then register such a PPA. So prior to registration, there must be compliance with Section 9. And because of that process, you'll find that the department then informs the community about the area in which the constitution can comply with the provisions of Section 9, and then engages with the community to ensure that meetings are held to remedy the problems that have been identified within that constitution. And once that process is done, it then that a constitution can be adopted. And because of the process involved being when we seek consensus within the community, it then becomes difficult to attach a specific time frame to say it must happen within 3 months, because we need to have the buy-in of the members of that particular community prior to the finalization of the last draft of the constitution that is then presented to the department.
I wanted to start with the problems we were encountering with the provisional CPAs. The first problem is that in the Principal Act, it is to say that the provisional CPA should not last longer than 12 months. But then what happened is that the provisional CPA tended to become permanent. And so people continued as though they were a proper CPA. So this thing of doing away with the provisional CPA, it was a recognition that, first of all, in the establishment of the CPA, you still need to do the lot of work. By the time you get to the final proposed CPA, the same proposed, you still would go through the same sort of processes, so you're going through the same ground. And the provisional CPAs was a way of catering for the preparatory work, including the workshopping of the communities about what these CPAs are, the range of different legal entities, so that they could choose the option that they thought they deemed was suitable for them. So the dream of with that is a recognition that is there, even after the provisional CPA has been done, after the 12 months, you almost have to repeat that work. And in any event, if they tended to overstay their time. So that's why the proposal now to not have to go into the provisional CPA and use the preparatory time, including the drafting of the CPAs in and workshopping all the communities. So the timing of this, I want to agree with the proposal that it should be time framed. But there's often a number of other processes in respect to the restitution matter. There could be issues around the verification processes, which sometimes drag and take a long, long time. So I think that the whole thing of saying get through the preparatory work as fast as possible, my take is that it would make a lot of sense. And then there is definitely in the regulations to provide for draft performer CPAs. In other words, in workshopping the community, we would say, here is a standard CPA. They don't have to adopt it exactly as they are, because the CPAs are drafted for different sets of purposes. But it was to provide a performer, and it is something that sits in our implementation manual, but it is provided for in the regulation currently. And so what is being proposed in Section 6 then, following after the deletion or the repeal of Section 5, becomes a consequential amendment then, after you said take away this step, the preparatory step, and having to have a provisional CPA.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Maybe the issue of the time frame should be looked at in terms of the two levels that are embarked upon when the process ensues. Firstly, is when the community decides to draft a constitution, and then when it has done everything, of the constitution, and then qualified from the question, and then material firstly, with regard to the first level where it depends from the government association, and it's going to be difficult to find the remember based on choice. They may start to think about it. Maybe after 12 months there's no food. But the time frame would be important, where having complied with all the time in the constitution and the issue, the user is satisfied in terms of health and compliance, then how long should it take to register? Now, with regard to the second level, the bill and the expert here, if you look at the Section 8, it says that where the registrar is satisfied that the association qualifies for registration, he or she shall register. So it doesn't even give him chance, it says he shall register, which means it must be immediate upon the transfer of health that they qualify. And we are very pleased that in the department, where a CPA which believe that the contract for registration is complies with all the requirements, submitted all the information to the registrar or the registrar reporting at them, which is the case currently. And they were not registered, despite qualifying, and they took the department to court to say we qualify and that we can require registration. And of course for that the department that they must then for register. There's no reason. not to want to raise it. In other words, at a certain level, the time frame, the sooner they submit, then the teacher will get the same time they qualify, they must raise it. I'm not sure what I but I think that's the option.
I hear and understand Honorable Mata's concern, because it is a real concern, it's something that is happening on the ground. But what I would like to ask to wonder is legislating, as our leader said, legislating operational things that should really be handled by a manager. Because if a person is not doing the job and they keep this draft for 20 years or whatever amount of time, isn't that a management issue? So what I'm trying to say is we must be careful of trying to legislate for non-compliance or inefficiency and things like that. But I understand your point at the same time.
Not a legal issue. I'm not saying it's a policy issue.
church, here are these groups of people, maybe across the country, there are, let's just say, 800. In groups of 20, 30, in groups of 4, 5, whatever, 800 of them. So they have then to form themselves into interim structure. We find that hey, they overlead, they have problems, they overlead, they overstay their welcome. What do we do? Let's just leave void in the vacuum. And I think that, and then let's rather help the process of the transformation. I think since we dropped the guard there as the policy chief and left it to the drafter. Because you can see now what you talk about drafting of the constitution. When we're looking at those people who just looked at it, legalistic. Those people don't need constitution, let me tell you what they need. They need institutional support. They must be met in meeting. Now that's not the part of the constitution. To discuss the vision, to discuss the attitude, to capture it nicely, to couch it, they need, if you like, a business case and business plan. They need social facilitation. Social facilitation. To be facilitated. So these problems don't arise. You tell them in advance that we know some of you take money, they go and buy taxes in people days and then you leave others poor. That's facilitation. Tell these people beforehand about what experiences you have in Rama, in Swami, and so forth, right? So organizational support, professional support, social facilitation, and consequentially, the drafting of the draft constitution. But having said that, Chair, I want to concede, but I thought it's much more policy discussed, because there's going to be a vacuum. And you know what it does? It opens social systems between the departments and the people. Because now these people cannot have provisional, thank you. They will not have these provisional structures now, however parallel and however paranoid. And so forth. They will now have to have nothing there. So they will have all the other stages. And us and our department, let's say we are one now, we are government, small energy, right? We are government, all of us. But capital energy is a very good department. Now, if as government, we will say we want to go in, help them draw business case, draw what was, activity, workshop, pull them together, what, then that's what we should be doing. But if we move away, we are then opening a distance, and then we'll have less problems. Urama was already there at the office nicely instead of being there in community. But at the end of the day, the government will be far removed from the people. Far removed from the people. But I support this limit as a vacuum, because when they amend later, they vacuum there that we, so, I support, therefore, 5 and 6 combined and move that we adopt it as such. And persuade my colleagues who are raising points in relation to what I'm also emphasizing that it's a give and take situation. Maybe we can allow it the way it's proposed here, do away with those provisional to be it, and then institute this constitution drafting. All our claim was that is good. Constitution drafting doesn't talk to making those people ready, giving them institutional support, business case support, and so forth. But as it were, we can live with that because I move that we take both clauses 5 and 6 and say, so I thank you.
The proposal that we accept the
draft
constitution as was also another proposal that the issue of the country
Sure.
An issue
with the word notify in 7-8. When a community wishes to adopt a constitution, it shall notify the register accordingly. Now, I don't expect that the registrar sits there and ready to run around to any part of their region, even if they are only given 24 hours notice. So in fairness to them, as well as to ensure their cooperation, that is the registrar, I would suggest that we qualify that notification by assigning a cure. They say give the registrar a reasonable notice so that they can adjust their diary accordingly. Otherwise, people may say he's unduly delayed and we proceeded. We told him yesterday that he must come and help us, and he's not here. And we proceeded. So I would suggest that we couch it by saying, shall give the registrar a reasonable notice. Thank you, Chair.
It goes on like this, provided that the constitution shall only be adopted by at least 50% of the total number of individuals. How is it put like this, say, only be adopted by at least not less than 50%? You are expecting these individuals to be present in this meeting. By at least not less than.
Madam Chair, I wish to appeal to my colleagues to keep the fact of this change. It's extremely problematic to legislate that time frames in relation to convening the history of the Constitution. and it would be ironic also to refer to as planet operating procedures, especially the manual for the order to order. And it's probably that really, I say, if we put a date in there, dates in there, then we create, how could I say, avenues where the department could be taken to court for violating the act. I say, we say 7 days, and the department is not able to do it in 7 days, and we again, all a lot of things of potential court cases, I say. I think the point raised by the Honourable McCarthy is that perhaps there have been CPAs who have raised a concern with regard to the threshold for the decision making. I personally think it should feel stronger that the 16% is something that in particular must remain when it comes to disposing of assets. I would be completely persuadable when it comes to the adoption of the Constitution, but I'm not proposing that we change the 60%. The other choice is perhaps that how will we be able to secure 60% of people in the especially if they are spread all over the province. Remember we have a CPA here in this community and members designing in Cape Town and other parts of the province, of other provinces, because one indeed has sympathy and empathy for situations that have been like that.
Trying to close down now broadcast to streamline everything to, you know, to do all with malpractice as CPA. But I see a big, big loophole between the individuals, the families and households. It looks like we must be clear what we do. I have two proposals. The first one is that we just say member. But a CPA must have definite member. Not identified through their ID number. These are the members of the CPA. So the forum is going to be very evasive or elusive, or you don't believe in the forum. That sometimes the forum of individuals, sometimes the forum of families. Now, first have things the families don't focus on, you might have said, right? Five members arrive at the meeting. They sit there in forum because she represents a family of God, eight, a family. So there are five families out of seven families. But these people are five out of maybe 62 people. There are five. So there I see a loophole there which should be manipulated strongly. I said that if we think that there will be a safeguard, at least I'll be accommodated by after households, then we end the case making. So that it's not manipulated every day, you know. So let's be clear, if it's according to members, it's according to members. If it's according to family rights, one person will let it be done. But end the case making. But if it stands like that, it's so nice and fluid and open to manipulation. Absolutely open to manipulation. If it's an individual, family, or household. The other thing we still know was for so many households. The other thing, so the Quran must be very, very clear where what it represents. And persuade, the Quran must be about persuading the other and persuade him, Chairman. That's the second thing for the Constitution. Remember, the Constitution is a supreme law of that body, subject to external law problems. Now, except that law of that body must really be have a very wide acceptance, and I think this is that, yeah. I think we did discuss it on that other day. On the first day, we did discuss this thing about 50%, 50%, 50 plus 1. So I'm persuading that disposal of assets on the Mandela, yes, plus constitution. Yes, for both, because they are key parameters of the existence of the PPA. Yeah. The rest of the group for this policy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. How is the Ramadan going to be at a meeting? Who goes? Is it the head of the family?
Is it a herded son? Is it the community must, the legislature must decide how a family is going to set a meeting to make those decisions. That's how we have it in that. We will try to participate, but at the state says they must look at how those members in a system are going to make a system. So who represents a member? We still need, like I'm saying, could be a household, Ramasala junior household, maybe Ramasala family, which is maybe my father and grandfather family, which is the position. But when the meeting is held, there must be somebody to go to that meeting to give us a decision.
Right, but it seems that from this point, on the CCA document, we're supposed to use all the
maybe have their IDs and all of that. So what I hear you saying is that we family of Obama, we will choose Tandela to go and represent us. And it's her ID and her name that will be on the list. Therefore, when it comes to 60%, all the other members of the Obama family will enter nowhere. It will be only the representative who's written on the list as representing the family. I don't know whether I thought you were right when you said that.
Okay, I also think we should have this schedule. I don't think anyway.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I couldn't agree more with the Honourable Papama, because the definition of a member in the Principal Act is not very helpful here. It presupposes that people already members. It just says members are members of the association. And it's not helping us. Because we want to know who actually qualifies. Yes, we know people qualify for the trainers or labor tenants. But I would rather wear specific to say who are these members. And I think the way she has articulated it, I don't want to spoil it by adding this or removing that, should be living souls, whether they represent themselves or represent families, so that they can be counted as individuals. They will say, they will be able to know who to report 60% or not. Not clouded with family and so on. You know, so I think it's just as well that Honorable Mwani picked this up. Thank you, Chair.
With the issue of the very hard members, Chair. But I think, Chair, that somehow in the Constitution, it must be locked in there. If we, in terms of the Obama's example of a family president, indeed, she will make provision for that. But it still needs to be defined in the Constitution, Chair. Because it must be, they say there's allowances for one person to represent a family, then it means that person must get a proxy. That person must be duly mandated. So that when the family withdraws that proxy, then notice must be given so that it can be recorded. That person can't turn up and rock up at a meeting and still continue to train to represent the family. Where is he or she? Represent themselves. The gist of what I'm saying to you, in some way, this must be located within the CPA Constitution. In the Constitution, it shouldn't be in the Act, but in the Constitution, it must be there. Thank you.
Explanation there in 21, yeah. But
I don't even think it's a busing issue, Chair. There's a fence issue, there's a meaning issue to it. So I don't think it's a busing issue. I don't think it is, with due respect to all the doctors in there. This thing is a loophole, Chair, because if you say individuals, families, or households, at some level, it's going to be representative of families. And remember, if we're a family of five, we don't necessarily agree on whether we should sell our 50% of shares to Mr. Tibiers, who want to buy part of the value. Each individual has a view, each individual has a... So, Chair, can we sum it up and not over-belabor it and say, verified, Honorable Robert, you may put it earlier on, much earlier on, verified members or verified beneficiaries or verified one. We're clear who we're talking about. There's a clear list. The quorum cannot be duped. Thank you.
Getting at least 60% of the people there. But in the situations where Honorable Nguni has mentioned earlier, there's households that totally disagree with one another with regards to whether this property should be used for banana farming, whether this property should be used for residential purposes, whether we're going to sell the property or not, whether we should be sharing our water rights. There's all of these disputes. And you find that with even within a family, they'll send a representative over there, and the representative could, in most, or in some cases, be representing himself and not what the family wants, because of the shenanigans that go on. To me, it makes perfect sense to get 60% of the verified beneficiaries there to make a decision with regards to which is the way forward on the specific CPA. And then I also agree with you, Honourable Chair, the suggestion you made of Schedule 8, then the terminology in Schedule 8 should then possibly change as well to 15 to what we're handling now. But I emphasise and I agree with Honourable Nguni, this is opening up. This is opening up problems. And never mind just the matter, just the matter of not being able to get everybody there. That's also opening up a matter of disagreement, of people not agreeing with one another, and then a decision never gets taken. Just because people, you know. So I think we should be clear cut beneficiaries, verified beneficiaries.
Okay.
Okay.
That's the one of the robots I used to not be missing. West or West, it doesn't address the issue. It might be the level of exposure to gatekeeping. It might be the level of exposure to gatekeeping. Because once you leave it with either or, in terms of that 60%, once we have 52%, we turn around. Okay, let's say it's an uncomfortable example. Let's make it in the community. We are about let's say for instance we are six political parties. In this day, there's no quorum. We decide to say, but no political parties are here. But in actual fact, if you were pinning a quorum to individual members, it would be irrespective that there are four out of six political parties. Now, if you play between families and individuals, then there's a problem. There are a several problem check. No people, like Paul Robertson said, no people in the family are going to agree. Those must be very, very much like families that don't have tax sheets and sorts of things. Now, when people have different views and then there's this family there, you know, you're trying to democratize, but this family that must represent six of us. So where's democracy now at that point? There cannot be attached membership. People must be members as members. Chair, to persuade the point that this family cannot all be able to attend, that's why we say 60%. You have this family of 14. Okay, 60% of 14, someone in the country is that easy, and we are about 7, and another about 8. 8 of you, 14, the others are teachers, the principal, the mayor, okay, but at least 8 of you must attend. So I'm saying, Chair, please, whatever, the practical experience for the area of volunteer, this opens up a loophole. It actually defeats 60%, because it's worked around. When we don't have Quran, we say, come to we got 4 political parties out of 6 political parties. And then we weighed the approach that said, out of a committee of 12 members, 6 of 11 members, 6 shall be a corner. It's not clear and straightforward. It has nothing to do with political parties. So I'm saying, Chair, let's just manage all the legal team to go and do it in our preferred way, please, and have peace with it. And take your own Chair to go to that section 8 to make one special amendment. Thank you.
Hello, members. Then the proposal that is that the individual families and households should be made to move the way to verify the
Section 8.
Share that with you, we have type of
think my work very much is impacted. Because we have talked about the issue of the format and recession. Now we are in session 7. They have to go back sessions, then you are 6. If you are in session 7, let us focus on session 7, then we proceed. Because otherwise we move forward, backward, forward, you know.
Shall I help check my question that we merge the two? We take a suggestion that we are going forward, but we take the Honourable suggestion that department needs share for info sharing on the universal standardized format that they have. Now that would be an issue that would probably not no longer be but fitting on our general information, so that we'll also see how to understand the oversight. So Chair, thank you. I support your view so far in progress. But that view is also important. Let's start with what you want to provide the and one thing that just said that information of time around as a coach.
Thank you.
Thank you,
noted. Anything on section 7? Can I get a motion for the exception?
Sir, there is no further adoption of section 7 with this amendment.
Can you proceed to section 8?
What?
No way.
Terminology for that, if my memory serves me right. But I know I don't want to
propose that we open discussions on this. Let us look at where we have left it. I'll just bring our attention to it, because now we're dealing with clause by clause. I don't want this to be left out. So those are my two concerns. Or should I proceed to E? Okay. Now, here is a matter of good governance. If the registrar is satisfied that the association qualifies, he shall register. Now, the same registrar, excuse me, who has got an obligation to go and assist the associations with their constitution. Now, it's the same one who says this constitution is good enough for them to be awarded a registration certificate. I'm not comfortable with that. That leaves room for a lot of corruption, for mistakes, because if done, the one who must go and assist them with the drafting of the constitution or amendment, why should it still be me who says it's good enough for them to register? I would rather he submits this text to the DG to say, I assisted them and this is good enough. I certify. And it should be the DG who does that, or somebody else. But it can't be the same person who has gone out to assist. Well, now he comes back to the office and says, no, I'm satisfied that it is good, and therefore I'm going to issue the registration certificate. I'm concerned about that. Those are the three issues that I have with the first section H.
Thank you, Mr. elephant. Any comment?
Okay, I will express. Sorry. Please, if you are responding to me.
That is why I am speaking. It will be better for us to come out of this room at 3. Because while advocate was responding, you were busy before.
I'm sorry.
Then after that, can you repeat it?
I want to do it again.
On the other side, you were so that okay.
That's you.
And Thank you.